Shalom and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a daily Bible reading podcast that goes through the whole Bible in a year. We follow along with the weekly Torah portions and read daily from the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and the apostles. If you want to learn more about the podcast or connect with us online, find us at dailybreadmoms.com. There you'll find information about the journal. That's the Bible reading plan that we use, which Bible translation we use, and how to contact us. You'll also see information about how you can support the podcast by becoming a patron and how we can connect with you more. We've got some new things for our sweet patrons and are excited to let you hear from us in more ways beyond the daily Bible readings. So find us at dailybreadmoms.com. We look forward to connecting with you. Let's get to our podcast episode for today. Shalom. Welcome back. It's Johanna, your reader here. Today is Wednesday, the 27th of March, and the 17th of Adar 2 on the Hebrew calendar. This week, our portion in the Torah is called Tzav, which means command. And we're starting today with Leviticus 7, verses 11 through 38. Before we begin our readings, as we do in each episode, we first take a moment to bless God and thank Him for giving us His word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to His people Israel and to all peoples through His Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. Now this is the Torah of the sacrifice of fellowship offerings which may be offered to the Lord. If he brings it for a thanksgiving, then he is to present with the sacrifice of thanksgiving matzah cakes mixed with oil, matzah wafers anointed with oil, and fine flour cakes mixed with oil. He is to present his offering with the sacrifice of his fellowship offerings for thanksgiving, along with cakes of bread with chametz. From each, he is to offer one out of every offering as a gift to the Lord. It will belong to the Kohen who sprinkles the blood of the fellowship offerings. The meat of the sacrifice of his fellowship offerings for thanksgiving is to be eaten on the day of his offering. He is not to leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or a freewill offering, it is to be eaten on the day that he offers his sacrifice. On the next day, what remains of it may be eaten. But what remains of the meat of the sacrifice on the third day is to be burned up with fire. If any of the meat of the sacrifice of his fellowship offerings is to be eaten on the third day, it will not be accepted, nor will it be credited to him who offers it. It will be a foul thing, and the soul who eats any from it will bear his own iniquity. The meat that touches any unclean thing is not to be eaten. It is to be burned up with fire. As for the meat, everyone who is clean may eat it. But the soul who eats of the meat of the sacrifice of fellowship offerings belonging to the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul is to be cut off from his people. If anyone touches any unclean thing, whether the uncleanness of man or an unclean animal or any unclean detestable thing, and eats some of the meat of the sacrifice of fellowship offerings belonging to the Lord, that soul is to be cut off from his people. The Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to Bnei Israel, saying, you are to eat no fat of a bull or sheep or goat. The fat of a dead animal and the fat of a torn animal may be used for any other service, but you must not eat it. For if anyone eats the fat of the animal from which an offering is made by fire to the Lord, then the soul who eats it is to be cut off from his people. You are not to eat any blood, whether it is from a bird or an animal, in any of your dwellings. Whoever it is who consumes any blood, that soul is to be cut off from his people. Then the Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, Speak to Bnei Israel, saying, Whoever brings the sacrifice of his fellowship offerings to the Lord is to present his offering to the Lord out of the sacrifice of his fellowship offerings. With his own hands he is to bring the Lord's offerings by fire. He is to present the fat with the breast, so that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. The Kohen is to burn up the fat as smoke on the altar, but the breast will belong to Aaron and his sons. The right thigh you are to give to the Kohen for a contribution out of the sacrifices of your fellowship offerings. The one among Aaron's sons who offers the blood of the fellowship offerings and the fat is to have the right thigh for a portion. For the breast of the wave offering and the thigh contribution I have taken from Bnei Israel out of the sacrifices of their fellowship offerings and have given them to Aaron the Kohen and to his sons as their portion forever from Bnei Israel. This is the anointed portion of Aaron and the anointed portion of his sons out of the offerings of the Lord made by fire on the day when he presented them to serve the Lord in the office of Kohen. The Lord commanded these to be given to them from Bnei Israel on the day that he anointed them. It is their portion forever throughout their generations. This is the Torah of the burnt offering, the grain offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the ordination offering, and the sacrifice of fellowship offerings, which the Lord commanded Moshe at Mount Sinai on the day he commanded Bnei Israel to present their offerings to the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. That was Leviticus 7:11-38. Today our portion from the prophets is Isaiah 13. The burden of Babylon, which Yeshayahu the son of Amoz saw. Lift up a banner on a bare mountain. Raise a voice to them. Wave a hand so that they may enter the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my consecrated ones. Yes, I have called my mighty ones, my proud exulting ones, for my fury. A sound of tumult in the mountains like that of many people. A sound of uproar of kingdoms, of nations gathered. The Lord of hosts is mustering the army for battle. They are coming from a far country, from the end of the heavens. The Lord and the weapons of his wrath to destroy the whole land. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come as destruction from Shaddai. Therefore all hands will fall limp, and every man's heart will melt. They will be terrified. Pain and anguish will take hold of them. They will writhe as a woman in labor. They will look aghast at one another, their faces aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, full of wrath and fierce fury, to make the earth a desolation and destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The rising sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. I will punish the world for evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the insolence of tyrants. I will make people scarcer than gold, even than the pure gold of Ophir. Therefore I will make heaven tremble, and the earth will shake from its place at the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce fury. It will be like a hunted gazelle, or like sheep with no one gathering. Each will return to his own people, Each will flee to his own country. Everyone found will be thrust through. Everyone caught will fall by the sword. Their babes will be dashed in pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up against them the Medes, who will not value silver and will take no delight in gold. Their bows will cut down the young men with no pity on the fruit of the womb, nor will their eyes spare children. So Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of Chaldean pride, will be just as when God overthrew Sodom and Amorah. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Nor will an Arab pitch a tent there, nor will shepherds let flocks lie there. But desert creatures will lie there. Their houses will be full of owls, ostriches will dwell there, and goat demons will dance there. Hyenas will howl in their citadels, and jackals in their pleasant palaces. Her time is near to come. Her days will not drag on long. That was Isaiah 13. Today, our portion from the writings is Psalm 150. Hallelujah! Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His enormous greatness. Praise Him with the blast of the shofar. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with string instruments and flute. Praise Him with clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That was Psalm 150. And now our portion today from the apostles is Acts chapter 17. After passing through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went to the Jewish people, and for three Shabbatot he debated the scriptures with them. He opened them and gave evidence that Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead, saying, "This Yeshua, whom I declare to you, is the Messiah." Some of them were convinced and became attached to Paul and Silas, as were a large number of the God-fearing Greeks, and no small number of the leading women. But some of the Jewish people became jealous, taking some wicked fellows of the marketplace and gathering a crowd, they stirred the city into an uproar. They attacked Jason's house, trying to bring Paul and Silas out to the mob. When they did not find them, instead they began dragging Jason and some of the brethren before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have upset the world have come here too, and Jason has welcomed them. They are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Yeshua." Hearing these things, the crowd and the city officials were confused. But after receiving bail from Jason and the rest, they released them. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. Upon arrival, they made their way to the Jewish synagogue. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, because they received the message with goodwill, searching the scriptures each day to see whether these things were true. Therefore, many of them believed, as well as quite a few prominent Greek women and men. But when the Jewish people of Thessalonica learned that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea, they came there too, agitating and inciting the people. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul away to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those escorting Paul brought him as far as Athens. after receiving an order for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they left. Now, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was aroused within him when he saw that the city was full of idols. So he was debating in the synagogue with the Jewish people and the God-fearers, as well as in the marketplace every day with all who happened to be there. Also, some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers were conversing with him. Some were saying, "What is this babbler trying to say?" While others, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign deities," because he was proclaiming the good news of Yeshua and the resurrection. So they took Paul to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you're talking about? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears, so we want to know what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and foreigners visiting there used to pass their time doing nothing but telling or hearing something new. So Paul stood in the middle of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in all ways you are very religious. For while I was passing through and observing the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Therefore, what you worship without knowing, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by hands, nor is he served by human hands as if he needed anything, since he himself gives to everyone life and breath and all things. From one he made every nation of men to live on the face of the earth, having set appointed times and the boundaries of their territory. They were to search for him, and perhaps grope around for him and find him. Yet he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, 'For we also are his offspring.' Since we are his offspring, we ought not to suppose the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an engraved image of human art and imagination. Although God overlooked the periods of ignorance, now he commands everyone everywhere to repent. For he has set a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed. He has brought forth evidence of this to all men by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some began scoffing, but others said, 'We will hear from you again about this.' So Paul left from their midst, but some men joined with him and believed, among them Dionysius, a member of the council of the Areopagus, a woman named Damaris, and others with them." That was Acts 17. And if you're reading through the Apostles twice this year, you'll be reading Revelation 11 today also. That concludes our readings for today. I pray that the Word of God will bless your spirit as you listen to it today. I'm Johanna with Daily Bread for Busy Moms. Shalom to you from Israel. Until next time.